Match day 5 didn't disappoint. Tuesday night set a high bar, but once again, so much drama on Wednesday evening. Liverpool finally get a victory over Real Madrid after 15 years of waiting. Benfica edge, a 5-goal thriller in Monaco, and it was heartbreak for 10-man Shakhtar as PSV came back from 2-0 down to win it 3-2 in injury time. All that and much more to get into with just 3 match weeks to go in the league phase of this year's UEFA's Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Ben Haynes. I'm joined by European football expert Andy Brassel and commentator Mike Saul. Andy, another magnificent evening in the Champions League.
Oh, let me catch a breath for a minute. So much going on, Ben, and really Liverpool and Real Madrid leading the way. That was the headline fixture of the evening, and it was just as absorbing and entertaining as we hoped it would be, but plenty else going on.
It was fascinating tonight. As we saw last night on Tuesday evening, goals flying in right from the outset, a little bit more of a slow burn, but wow, did it jump into life. So let's run through the scores. Liverpool 2, Real Madrid 0. PSV coming back to beat 10-man Shakhtar 3-2. Benfica got a win on the road away at Monaco, 3-2 there as well. Dortmund worthy winners, 3-0 against Dinamo, away at Dinamo. Aston Villa and Juventus played out a 0-0 draw. It was 1-1 between Celtic and Club Brugge, and Lille won on the road against Bologna by 2-1. In the early game, Sevena Sfezda won 5-1 against Stuttgart, and Sturm Graz won 1-0 against Girona. Well, let's start at Anfield with that battle of the European heavyweights. Just the 21 titles between them. Mike Saul described the action.
Coppers in full voice on a European night at Anfield. They are renowned for being noisy affairs, colourful affairs, emotional affairs. Now McAllister at the D, pokes it forward, Bradley gets it back, McAllister! This time, Liverpool do find the back of the net, and it's no more than they deserve. They've come out at the start of this second half at full throttle. Here's Vasquez, oh, he's cut in, he's gone down, and the referee's given a penalty. Kylian Mbappe, it's saved by Kelleher. Away to his left, he's mobbed by his teammates, and maybe it's going to be Liverpool's night. Mo Salah up against Furlong Mendy, cutting into his left and his right. That's a penalty, it's another one. This time it's for Liverpool. Now it is Mo Salah against Thibaut Courtois in front of the cop, and he's missed it. I think he clipped the outside of the post. Courtois had gone the wrong way, and that is so uncharacteristic. A wry smile on the face of Mo Salah. Robertson in, and headed in by the substitute, Cody Gakpo. Powerfully into the bottom corner, and that might well have done it for Liverpool. They have a real foothold on another 3 points in the UEFA Champions League. Liverpool 2, Real Madrid 0.
So a wonderful win for Liverpool against Real Madrid at Anfield. We spoke so much, Andy Brassel, about the heavyweights that would be on show tonight, the star players that would be on show tonight. But it's Alexis McAllister, perhaps one of those who will have gone about business a little bit more quietly, really coming to the fore this evening.
Yeah, and a good month for the McAllisters, you could say, with older brother Kevin scoring against Roma for Union Saint-Gilloise in the UEFA Europa League earlier this month. A goal that got them a point, of course, and kept them in there. But I think there were signs from early in the game that Alexis McAllister might be the guy to split it open. Now, it's often said that Liverpool have plenty of mobility in the centre, but maybe not always that someone to pick the lock. Well, Alexis McAllister's putting it out there and saying, actually, maybe I'm that guy. And we saw that early on. We saw plenty of Darwin Nunez early on in the game. And of course, one of those, it was a brilliant pass over the top from McAllister. You're expecting on the edge of the penalty area that little low through ball. And in fact, lifts it over the top of the Real Madrid defence, finds Darwin with his pace and nearly creates the goal. So look, McAllister's so all action. I think sometimes you can forget that he has got that craft to his game. And that's what it was all about, the opening goal. The way that he picked it up, found Connor Bradley. Great return pass from Bradley. And there's no panic from McAllister when he receives it. Just a little touch to get it out of his feet and just guides it in, passes it into the corner, really. And a worthy man of the match tonight as well. Vital for Liverpool.
On commentary duty tonight for us, Mike Sewell. Mike, do we need to be talking about Cuevan Kelleher in between the sticks for Liverpool? What a save that was at such a crucial time from Kylian Mbappe's penalty.
It was a really good save. I mentioned at the time of the commentary that if you look at the replay, you'll get a chance to watch the replay in slow motion from behind Kylian Mbappe. Just look at Kelleher's eyes. He is completely focused, laser focus, I think, on Mbappe's feet. And he's obviously studied Mbappe, and he obviously knows that a certain body shape, he's going to go that way, or another body shape, he's going to go that way. And he guessed, and he was looking, and he's like, right, he's going this way. And he was going as Mbappe hit the ball, and he pushed the ball away. It was a really good save. And Alisson was there watching on, and there's an argument to say you've got to stick with the goalkeeper who's in form, surely.
Yeah.
This was a quote that Jurgen Klopp used to come out with quite a lot when he was in charge of Liverpool. He used to say, I believe that I've got the best number one in the world in Alisson and the best number two in the world in Kelleher, Andy.
And you've got Georgi Mamardashvili to add to that next summer, who was one of the best goalkeepers at UEFA Euro 2024. So I'm not really sure how you square that circle, but, you know, it's Liverpool all over at the moment. So many great options.
We had to spoil it a little bit tonight with who was in attendance as well, Mike, seeing Rafa Nadal up in the stands, and Rafa Benitez there as well.
Rafa Benitez was there, Rafa Nadal, and Roberto Carlos was sat there, former Real Madrid, well, he's still a Real Madrid legend, isn't he, but former Real Madrid player. He was there watching as well. But it was one of those games that everybody wants to see. It'll be been watched all the way around the world, not just Europe. I think it's interesting because if both teams had fully fit squads, I think would have had a different kind of game from Real Madrid, would we have not?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Although, how Real Madrid play normally and how they would play away at Liverpool are two different things, I would say. And Carlo Ancelotti is never afraid of defending properly. I think, obviously, it's difficult for them with their resources at the moment, not just losing players in defence, but losing players in midfield. But they're in a situation now, Real Madrid. I mean, we talked about Paris Saint-Germain and where they are last night, Ben. But the fact is, Real Madrid have lost three successive UEFA Champions League games. How many times are we able to say that? About a club and a team that has not just defined the UEFA Champions League and European Champion Clubs Cups history, but it's modern history as well.
And I know that there are three match days left and 9 points could certainly change the complexion. But if you look at that table now, the elimination line, which is below place number 24, just below it, Paris Saint-Germain, just above it, Real Madrid.
Well, the fact is, if Shakhtar, Mike, had held on to that lead tonight at PSV Eindhoven, Real Madrid wouldn't be in the top 24 now.
Absolutely incredible. Those three games to go for Real Madrid. Atalanta away, Salzburg at home, and then they finish up with a really tricky one away at Brest. Let's hear from two of Liverpool's heroes tonight. First, goalkeeper Cuevan Kelleher, and then midfielder Alexis McAllister.
Yeah, it's obviously, listen, it's a big result. It was a massive game for us. Obviously, they got the better of us the last few times in the Champions League, so that we wanted to come out here tonight and put on a performance, and I thought the lads did really well.
It is nice, but at the same time, it means nothing because it's just the first phase. We are happy with our performances. That's the most important thing, and we'll keep going.
Player of the match, Alexis McAllister, and then penalty save hero, Cuevan Kelleher. And it's really interesting, Andy, that they say it doesn't mean anything at this moment because we're in the league phase. But that is a massive result tonight. And when you sit at the top of the table at this point, it surely means a huge amount.
Well, we saw him celebrating the goal. We know it means something. Oh, he's just contradicting himself there. But, you know, I understand where Alexis McAllister is coming from. Liverpool have got big ambitions this season. The way they're playing, apart from the results, they should have big ambitions. You know, they should be saying to themselves, we can win it all. There's no reason that they can't, the way they're playing. But of course, pacing yourself, being level-headed, all that sort of stuff is very important. But I think as well, you have to just take a moment to breathe in, savour the fresh air at the top of the mountain, because they were again outstanding tonight.
Well, I think the other thing here, Mike, is that because they're top of the table, 100% record so far, it leaves them in a position, yes, other fixtures will have permutations, but it leaves them in a position right now where, going into the final stages of the league phase with three games to go, there may even be the opportunity for Arne Slot to rotate things a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether he would do that yet. He might be able to do it on match day 7. If things are still going well, he'll probably do it on match day 8 against PSV. But he's been quick to point out, hasn't he? And this is the old cliche. He hasn't said it because it's an old English cliche, isn't it? One game at a time. But I doubt he probably won't even look at that league table. He'll know that they're top, but he won't even look at it, I wouldn't have thought, and worry about any of it until he gets to probably match day 7. And then he might think, okay, yeah, I might make a change or two. But when you look at the situation now, I mean, not only is that an amazing result in the Champions League, 5 out of 5, they're beating the defending champions, they now go into a game against the defending English champions, who are having an awful run, Manchester City, in this vein of form. I mean, Manchester City will have watched on, especially after what happened to them last night, and I wonder what Pep Guardiola will be thinking.
Yeah, I wonder that, but I also wonder, when we talk about the effect it will have on the end part of this group stage of the Champions League, you know, if you're Brest or if you're PSV, you might think, oh, well, maybe Arne Slot will rotate. He rotated this evening. Look at the players they had on the bench. You know, they're able to rotate and still have extraordinary quality. The fact that they're able to bring on Hakpo, the fact that they're able to bring on Trent Alexander-Arnold, and they didn't, because they didn't need to. That shows you the extraordinary depth that Arne Slot has got, and the fact that when everyone gets their go, they're ready. All of them are ready.
We're just watching the replays of two missed penalties this evening, Mike, and it was bizarre watching Mo Salah step up to the ball, hit it ferociously, and it not smash into the back of the net.
He couldn't have hit the ball any cleaner, really, and he sent Courtois the wrong way. The problem was he was slightly off with his direction. His crosshair wasn't quite in the right place, and it just grazed the outside of the post. But I said to Andy, if you'd have predicted that both Kylian Mbappe and Mo Salah would have missed penalties in the same game in the space of 10 minutes of each other, you'd have gone, no chance. Maybe one, but not both.
It turned out not to matter for Mo Salah at all, because Liverpool in the end, they felt fairly comfortable, and as it got towards the final stages, it looked as though they had control of the game.
Yeah, and they had control of the game for most of it. I think there's that one spell in between Mbappe missing his penalty and the bit where Liverpool scored the second goal, and it feels like Real Madrid are in the game. But apart from that, Liverpool are on top of it the whole way. And that level of control, you know, you can't hope to play with the sort of momentum that they started the second half with for the entire game. It is physically not possible. But to have control in the moments where you don't have that momentum and that sheer power that they use to just overwhelm teams at Anfield so often, I mean, that's the next best thing.
And you talk about the word momentum. They're now unbeaten in 15 games in all competitions, and they've won 14 of them. In total this season, they've played 19, won 17, drawn 1, lost 1.
Absolutely incredible record so far for Arne Slot. Let's go on to talk about Monaco against Benfica. Incredible game in the south of France. So Monaco 2-1 up with about 10 minutes to go. Benfica find a way to come back, and goals through Cabral and Hamdouni in the 84th and the 88th minute win it for Benfica. Absolutely incredible. The player of the match was Angel Di Maria, Andy, and we saw some of his quality tonight with two exquisite crosses.
Well, we said, Ben, that he'd come into this game with 5 goals in the last 2 games, in big games as well, against Porto and in the cup against the Estrela Amadora. And he's just ageless. It's extraordinary. He's been wonderful this season. Of course, teasing us with will he carry on after this season, won't he? I think he knows he wants to carry on. We want him to carry on.
He just looks so comfortable still, doesn't he? He's in wonderful physical condition. His technique and quality, it, never in question, but he looks fantastic out there.
He does, but I think Bruno Lage deserves credit for the midfield he's assembled around him. When you think of the athleticism of Fredrik Alsnes, for example, Kukcu, the players he has around him do a lot of the physical lifting, which allows him to have that clarity and make his quality really count. But it was funny, Monaco coped with the red card really well, I thought. They took the lead after that, of course, to go 2-1 up when Magassa scored. And you think they're in a really great position there. And actually, it's not the physical aspect with which Benfica overpower Monaco, having the extra man. It's just the fact that they have the best player on the pitch in Angel Di Maria.
His two assists tonight take him up to second in the all-time assist stats. So no prizes for guessing who the top two are, Andy. But he jumps ahead of Lionel Messi, who had 40. He goes on to 41 and sits one behind Cristiano Ronaldo. If that's not a reason to carry on, just to get an extra couple, then what?
He's glad for the extra two games in the group stage, let's say that.
Absolutely. Let's just quickly touch on Monaco one more time. Wilfried Tsongo sent off for two yellow cards, and it very much felt like that was the turning point. Benfica just in the ascendancy and felt that there was something to be played for at that moment.
That's true, but like I said, I thought Monaco dealt with it very, very well. And the other thing you have to remember about Monaco, and we're talking about the physical strength to get through games, Monaco have a younger team than Benfica. And I think that really showed in the way that they rode that out. But look, Benfica didn't panic, and they were on the back of two successive losses in the UEFA Champions League, having started very well with those two wins, of course, against Atletico and against Crvena Zvezda. And Bruno Lage had said before the game, look, we've got to show what we're made of in this game. He put the pressure on his players to turn up and give a performance against the side who are one of the better sides in Europe at the moment, you know, pushing PSG in Ligue 1 at the moment. So for Benfica to stick with it and turn it around, very impressive. As well, though, look at the two substitutes scoring in Cabral and Anduni, shows what strength they've got on the bench too.
Let's go on to talk about another amazing comeback, Mike. PSV beating Shakhtar by 3-2. Pedro Henrique sent off in the 69th minute when Shakhtar were 2-0 up and looked like they were cruising, and then PSV score in the 87th, 90th and 95th minute. How many times have we seen that happen when a side just gets that first goal and suddenly believes that there's something still on the line for them?
Well, clearly the sending off would have given them some kind of impetus with, what, a quarter of the game to go. And yeah, as you say, once Malik Tillman had got the first of those goals in the 87th minute, I mean, I don't know, they were probably at that point thinking, let's get a point. And then as soon as Tillman got the second goal, which if you haven't seen is an absolute screamer, they would have thought, we can win this. And then Ricardo Pepi, his USA international teammate, so both of those have earned their stripes tonight and been the stars of the performance. This is another tribute to the manager, with what you could say is a bish bash bosh of a finish to the game.
Do we end there? Do we all just walk out?
I should have saved for the end, shouldn't I?
Well, look, let's hear from PSV's two goal hero, player of the match, Malik Tillman.
Crazy game, crazy comeback. I mean, we created many chances, to be honest, but yeah, we couldn't finish them till, I don't know, 5 minutes before the end. But yeah, there are also a lot of things that we have to improve on, especially how we start the game. First half wasn't good, but yeah, the mentality that we showed today, I think, was excellent.
Malik Tillman with one of the goals of the evening, maybe matched by Jamie Gittins, Dinamo 0, Dortmund 3, and what a goal it was from Jamie Gittins to get things going.
Yeah, and they did need to get it going because Dortmund have found it quite frustrating up until that point. It was a really, really terrific finish from him, and he's done that so many times for Dortmund already this season, Jamie Gittins. cracked open a game where they've struggled to create enough good chances despite having a lot of possession. And then from there, obviously Rami Bentabaini heading in the second, and Seyru Guirassy, who they'll be really happy to see back from injury after his substitute appearance tonight, getting the third. They've a big game at the weekend, home to FC Bayern Munich in the Clásica, of course, so big for them, but really big for Dortmund to put an end to this poor away run. Six successive away defeats in all competitions, and putting an end to that at the Maximir tonight.
And up they go into fourth position in the Champions League table. Really, really impressive tonight. Jamie Gittins' fourth goal in the Champions League this season. Only one English player under the age of 21 has netted more in a single campaign in this competition. That was back in 2000-2001. And that was Alan Smith for Leeds United. Let's go over to Celtic Park. 1-1 between Celtic and Club Brugge. And I think, Mike, the overwhelming feeling that Celtic fans might be coming away with tonight is that some of that was a little bit self-inflicted with the own goal from Carter Vickers. And there was opportunities, but Club Brugge dug in.
They did. And with all due respect to Club Brugge, that's the kind of game that Celtic will need to win if they want to make it in to the latter stages of the UEFA Champions League. They'll feel that even though they had to come back and equalise, they'll feel it'll be 2 points lost. They're 1 point ahead of Brugge. Both of them, well, they're both ahead of Real Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain, but they're in that little section just above the elimination phase. But I think one thing to point out with Celtic is that obviously a lot is made of their Champions League performances in recent seasons, and they've not really been able to take their domestic form into Europe. Well, they got that excellent victory on match day one, then they got hammered, didn't they, on match day two. Their recovery since, they've not lost a game since that heavy defeat to Dortmund. They've won most of the games domestically, and obviously they've got a draw tonight, so they've got themselves in a good flow. But clearly I think Brendan Rodgers will be a little bit frustrated that they haven't been able to come away with 3 points.
I think especially as they must see Club Brugge as a direct competitor. And of course, after they qualified for the knockout round the season before last, probably a template for how Celtic could go forward. You know, similar size league, similar budget. It's something that they could take an example from. And of course, if they had have beaten them tonight, they would be, what, 4 points clear of them? And now they're only 1 point clear of them. So you look at the teams around Celtic, for them to have, what, you look on the same number of points as Manchester City, PSV and Juventus. I think that is a testament to how well Celtic have done so far. And as Mike was saying, recovering from that heavy defeat in Dortmund, so impressive.
They've got young boys at home in their last home game. The other two games are away from home. Dinamo next up, and then they've got to go to Aston Villa on match day eight.
That will be a tricky tie, won't it? Away at Villa Park. Let's get some more reaction from Celtic Park. Captain Callum McGregor on extending their unbeaten run at home.
Probably a fair result in the end. I felt like when we got going second half, we're probably the team who was most likely to win. But this is a tough level, and if you can't win it, then you certainly don't lose them, and you take your point and extend the run, and it keeps us in good shape.
Elsewhere, Lille won 2-1 on the road against Bologna. Mukau scoring twice to put Lille in front in Italy. Equally, though, on the other side of this, Andy, I know it will be no consolation the fact that Bologna haven't picked up points tonight, but Lazumi scoring their first ever Champions League goal to pick up an equaliser at the time, that's still a massive moment.
Yeah, it is. It is huge, and they've had to put up with a lot of changes this season as well. Of course, they're a club that weren't necessarily expected to qualify for the UEFA Champions League in the first place, and then Thiago Motta, who's an outstanding coach, goes to Juventus to be replaced by a very good coach in Vincenzo Italiano. But a couple of big personnel changes as well. We saw Lewis Ferguson come back tonight, wear the captain's armband for his first UEFA Champions League start after that ACL injury that he's got over. So I just wonder if Bologna will be at Champions League pace when it's a little bit too late, really. I think they can still make life difficult for a few other teams before the end of this competition, but it might be too late for them to get into 24.
So 2-1 win there for Lille away at Bologna. And at Villa Park, it was 0-0 between Aston Villa and Juventus. But we should just talk about a wonder save from Emi Martinez. He had no real right to save Francisco Conceição's header from about 5 or 6 metres out, but manages to somehow claw it off the line.
I mean, I don't know, is it fair to describe it as Peter Schmeichel-esque? You know how he used his whole body, he seemed to use his personality to get it out of the goal.
David Seaman saved. Do you remember the sort of one where it went behind him?
Sheffield United.
Yeah,
in the FA Cup semi-final. Yes, I know exactly what you mean, Ben. And Martinez has gone from strength to strength as well. The other thing we've got to say, apart from that, disallowed Morgan Rogers' goal right at the end for Aston Villa. They almost scored at the end of the first half. Brilliant free kick from Lucas Digne, who's had a brilliant season so far, both for Aston Villa and for France in the UEFA Nations League. He was pivotal in that win over Italy a couple of weekends ago.
Aston Villa find themselves just outside of those automatic qualification positions. So they've dropped down to ninth tonight. But I'd imagine for Unai Emery, he won't lose any sleep over the fact that they've had another good draw at home, another good atmosphere, and leave themselves in a very, very good position.
Yeah, and Emery is a player, a coach who has always prided himself on his team's defending very, very well. But Villa have not been up to speed defensively domestically recently. You saw that when they dominated the game against Crystal Palace at the weekend and ended up drawing 2-2 because of a couple of mishaps at the back. So for them to be able to keep a clean sheet tonight and to keep home clean sheets in all of their games at Villa Park so far, and you're looking at two real big hitters in Bayern, Juventus, and of course the other game against Bologna. It's really impressive.
Conceição, player of the match tonight. For Juventus, they sit in 19th. This is a good point on the road.
Yeah, I think it is. And for them, of course, returning to the UEFA Champions League this season, a very young team, as we said, the whole team, whole 11 that started tonight, under 30. They're sort of learning on the job, and they look like they're a team of real substance, super tough to beat.
Let's hear from Villa frontman Ollie Watkins, who says that a point in this one was a positive outcome.
Yeah, obviously you always want to win games at the end of the day. Whenever we go out onto the pitch, the aim is always the same, to win and keep a clean sheet. You know, we did one of them, which is the clean sheet, so Emi will be happy. But you know, we didn't come away with the 3 points, but it's been an unbelievable journey, and I feel like we've done really good to get to this point. So yeah, a point is positive, and for us to have got 3 points, you know how far we've come.
There were two early kickoffs tonight in Serbia. Stuttgart travelled to Crvena Zvezda, while in Austria, Sturm Graz welcomed Girona.
Passes on to Chadder. Chadder moves through the challenge, and goalkeeper keeps it out once, but not twice. And swept home by Biret, the first Sturm Graz player to score a goal in the Champions League this season.
Might be a shot on here for Demirovic. And there's a goal for Demirovic in Stuttgart. Silas puts it in the bottom corner. Muted celebrations from the man on loan from the team he's just scored against. And the chance is put away. Krunic makes it 2-1, Crvena Zvezda. Ivanic, on his return, has the freedom of Belgrade at the back post. Krunic with the chance. Oh, what an impact! Another substitute off the bench to find the back of the net. But it's the second of the night for Radonjic. Stuttgart's embarrassment complete. Crvena Zvezda 5, Stuttgart 1.
What a performance from Crvena Zvezda. 5-1 winners against Stuttgart. Radek Krunic, the player of the match there. Sturm Graz also won 1-0 against Girona. Oriol Romeo with an outstanding performance to win player of the match there. Our reporter in Serbia for that match was Alexandra Stojkovic, and I caught up with her a little earlier to discuss that 6-goal thriller in Belgrade.
Amazing. I can say that seeing 6 goals in the net, it can only be good to be present at a historic match like this tonight in Belgrade. It was quite an important match for Zvezda. It was, I think, for them to be or not to be in the Champions League. And I think after an early goal by Demirovic, they were even more motivated to level it up and to get the first points in the Champions League tonight.
Could you feel that this evening? 3 points needed in order to push for qualification?
Yeah, you can always feel stuff like that. You can feel the confidence, and they had like more than 2 weeks to get some rest. And I think they were really, really ready to make the difference tonight. And I think it was a really special night. I cannot not mention it. Silas scoring the goal against, let's say, his own club. That was quite special. And he's paid to respect to his club. He was not celebrating that goal, but I think it meant a lot to him and to the team.
Yeah, Silas on loan from Stuttgart, so scoring against his parent club and not celebrating. A first win tonight then for Svenska. I mean, a challenge up next as they travel to Milan. What a night that would be.
I think for them, it will be tough to get back to Italy and to try to secure some more points. And of course, it's always easier to play in front of your own crowd, in front of your own fans. And I think that they will be more motivated after tonight's win. It's always different when you score 5 goals in the Champions League. And nobody expected that before the match started. And I think now it will be a big motivation for them in Italy.
Let's just get everyone up to speed then on how the league phase table looks. In the top 8 positions, they will go straight through to the round of 16. Liverpool, Inter, Barcelona, Dortmund, Atalanta, Leverkusen, Arsenal and Monaco. Then in the knockout phase, playoff places, seeded positions, Aston Villa, Sporting, Brest, Lille, Bayern, Benfica, Atleti and Milan. And then the unseeded positions occupied by City, PSV, Juventus, Celtic, Feyenoord, Club Brugge, Dinamo and then Real Madrid. Just outside in the elimination places, Paris, Shakhtar, Stuttgart, Sparta Praha, Sturm Graz, Girona, Svena Zvezda, Salzburg, Bologna, Leipzig, Bratislava and Young Boys. The Champions League returns for match day 6 in a couple of weeks' time, with 9 matches on each night to look forward to, including on Tuesday Leverkusen against Inter and Atalanta against Real Madrid. On Wednesday, Dortmund versus Barca, Juventus versus Man City, Arsenal v Monaco. And now off the back of tonight, Andy, I'm sure you're incredibly excited to watch that Dortmund versus Barca game.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I'll also be at Salzburg versus Real Madrid. Salzburg versus Paris Saint-Germain, the night before. Absolutely so important for Paris Saint-Germain, that outside the 24 at the moment.
It promises to be a fascinating last few match rounds. We'll bring you all the action here on Match Day Live on Tuesday the 10th of December and Wednesday the 11th of December, on air from 8:45 p.m. CET on both evenings. Back to tonight's action and our commentary match, Liverpool 2, Real Madrid 0. Let's hear from Real Madrid's English midfielder, Jude Bellingham, who says teammate Kylian Mbappe can hold his head high despite the missed penalty.
Obviously a big moment in the game, but it can happen. He's a wonderful player, but the pressure that he holds because of how good he is huge. You know, it's humongous, and penalty is not the reason why we lost the game. Kylian can keep his head high. I know for sure that he will produce many more moments that are huge for this club.
Just time for our moment of the night. Let's go one by one. Mike, what are you going for?
Mine's 2-word, Mac attack for the opening goal.
And what about you, Andy?
I'm going to go for Zaki Amdouni's winner for Benfica. Incredible comeback from them.
What a huge goal that was. I'm not spoiled for choice here because I don't know whether to go for Jamie Gittins or Tillman's goal. What do you reckon?
I think you've got to go for Tillman because of the drama.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Tillman. I'll go with Andy then on the 2 goals. It was Jamie Gittins or it was Tillman's goal. I mean, just Jamie Gittins leading off for Dortmund. I just think he's been fantastic to watch. But Tillman's strike, so, so pure. That's just about all we have time for this evening. My thanks to Andy and to Mike for their company. A reminder, this very podcast will be available at the end of every match night of the Champions League. So make sure to subscribe, follow and download wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back on Match Day 6 for more mouthwatering league phase matchups. So make sure you join us on Tuesday the 10th and Wednesday 11th. But for now, from me, Ben Haynes and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.